Melanin Friday. It's brought to you by Boston Pizza, Canada's favorite sports bar, and the push of the playoffs is here, and BP's elite lineup of pizza, wings, and ice-cold beer is always dialed in for game time. Hustle into your local BP tonight and try our new four-cheese ravioli bites, a game-changing appy that's here for a limited time only. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Jonas Siegel of The Athletic. The Leafs are in action tonight, and then in Ottawa tomorrow. They got Carolina here tonight, and Rod Brindamore doing the same thing that Jared Bednar did a couple of days ago, right? These coaches for elite teams, teams that have won many playoff rounds in the past, come in here and pump the tires of the Leafs. Saw Brindamore do that last hour, saying that there's no weaknesses on this team. And listen, during the regular season, that is accurate. It is absolutely accurate. And I think what I have found to be consistent with Bednar and other coaches and Brindamore as well is, you know, coaches seem to be acknowledging, and I think they're being genuine, the moves made at the deadline, the adjustments to kind of how this team looks, seems to be, creating a bit of a buzz league-wide, and teams seem to be complementary of the Leafs in terms of the way that they're built now compared to the way they were 3 weeks ago. Jonas, would you concur with that? Is 100%. That kind of a consistent theme?
I think Ryan O'Reilly has like 100% approval rating in the NHL. No? Mm-hmm. Like if you asked every coach, do you like Ryan O'Reilly, it would be 100%. Love him. Like he's great. He's great in the playoffs. That's the guy they needed. You know what is interesting, though? I don't know if you guys care about this, but some of like their offense and their underlying numbers since the trade haven't been great. Now, I think it's too early, and there's been too much going on to really make much of it, and I don't think it correlates to the playoffs, but it's, like, noteworthy, at least.
You know what it is for me, and I said this before, this might not... They're built like everybody else now.
Yes.
But that's a good thing, because it wasn't working before.
No, they traded some skill for some competitiveness, fine.
Pierre Engvall is not skilled. I'm sorry. He's a fast player
who's terrified to play
hockey. Yes. That's not trading skill. That's a guy who's very fast. But in critical times, he wasn't going to be there. I was fine with them trading Pierre Engvall.
Me too.
But my point being is that this wasn't, to me, the consensus now is like, yeah, they look like everybody else. And the comments I always got before about this team is like, you won't win the way they're constructed. Because it was too top-heavy, and they were too soft, and not hard enough to play against in certain areas. Now, that's changed. So now, they are built like everybody else. So, you know, I don't know if that's been pointed out enough. Because it's like, oh, yeah, like they were skilled before. Yes, they were skilled before. They were great in the regular season, and it didn't translate to the playoffs. Now, whether you've left skill on the table, I don't think you've left skill on the table. Who did off that fourth line?
No, exactly.
Was a better player than, you know, Noel Achari. To me, Achari's a hard guy to play against. Like I you actually notice him where other guys who's left off.
No, I agree.
Well, you're taking Sandin out and you're putting McCabe, who's not as skilled.
But Sandin to me, yeah, great. He's got some points in Washington. On a lesser team, he'll play higher in the lineup. But on the team like this, on the left side, he was not going to replace Morgan Riley. Now it's McCabe and Giordano. Like, I just I look at it, and it's like, oh, they made these moves. They made the moves because they out of necessity to be built like everybody else. So the whispers I heard before was like, you'll never win with the way it was constructed before. Now you have a chance to do that because you're constructed like everybody else that are contenders.
Well, in terms of who's off the roster, it's Engvall and Sandin. That's it. Like, Joey Anderson was a spot-duty player.
For sure.
So, really, what the numbers are suggesting is the guy, because they have added a lot of players, those guys are maybe not bringing it to the extent that, I don't know.
No, but the guys. But I guess the point is the guys you brought in, like Lafferty, Achari, McCabe, O'Reilly's in a different bracket, but they're more, I don't know, they're not what you'd call super skilled players. And
no, they're not.
This was more of
they're energy guys.
Yeah, yep. And I think I liked what they did at the deadline. Like, I'm not saying that. I just think I don't know. It's interesting. It's at
least... And it's too early. Like, Engvall's got, I think, 3 goals in his last 3 games. Like, anybody panicking about Pierre Engvall?
No, and he had 0 in 17 playoff games.
Exactly. And he's just going to keep being the same guy.
Yes.
And in reality, in the NHL, that guy is replaceable. Like, anyone on the third or fourth line, including what they have right now. It's not like Noel Acciari is a guy you give an 8-year deal to because he's fit in well in your fourth line.
Ask any Leaf fan before Sam Lafferty arrived. If you knew
who's Sam Lafferty,
exactly,
like and that's your reality.
That's the reality of it. But what I'm saying is, you just look at certain players, and they look different, and they kind of match up against the different players on other teams. Whereas before, it was like, hey, that guy plays a little tougher. This guy plays a little bit more skilled. Let's see how it unfolds.
And the skill is still here. Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares are still here. Morgan Rielly is still here, right? Like, there's still a number of guys on this team that are more than capable of outskilling any opponent if they show up and play, and they're ready to do it. What we might see tonight is some fights. Might see some fights tomorrow. Next year in the queue, I guess you still can see fights, and I would anticipate that we will continue to see fights, but they will be punished differently, and the officiating will be approaching it differently. And to chat about that, that was some pretty big news earlier this week that the QMJHL is planning to ban fighting as of next year. We're joined now by the new commissioner out in the queue. Here is Mario Cecchini. How you doing, Mario?
Very good. Yourselves?
We're doing well, thank you. I'm sure we're not the first ones to request your time, considering what's come out of the queue this week. And I guess we'll get you to explain it to our audience. Like, why does this make sense now? Why are you guys putting into place new rules that will effectively ban fighting in major hockey in Quebec starting next year?
Well, first of all, just to put some context for your listeners, I'm actually starting on May 8th.
Okay.
So I'm still the president of the Alouettes up until April the 6th. So the context is basically what you've heard over the past few months and weeks about starting with Hockey Canada last year, I guess, the questioning. What I got from everybody internally is that the questioning started to be, it hit everybody. Everybody was ashamed of some of the things that were said on the initiations, azing, I think the word is in English. Mm-hmm. And basically it led also to the fights. And we have a minister of sports in Quebec that was very clear on the outcome, on what she wants to see. Fights should be banned, mostly on the basis, of course, of an adult. You know, it's a 16 to 20 league, of course, so you can have a 16-year-old technically fighting a 20-year-old, so an adult fighting a minor person. So that started it all. She's been quite clear on the outcome. And she also wants the two person in the fights to be at least expelled from the game, and then whatever punishment afterwards belongs to us. So that started the conversation, and then what happened with Mr. Courteau 2 weeks ago. So my appointment leaked, and therefore I was presented to the press yesterday, even though I'm still employed by the Alouettes. So now I will see the Minister of Sports in 2 weeks, trying to get a solution around that. The league has decided, through all those conversations that occurred over the past few months, to actually go ahead. Overwhelming majority of teams, I'm told, I don't have the exact amount, is totally in favor. There's teams like Les Remparts, who is coached by Patrick Roy, for example, in Quebec City, has already, and that's the important point I want to make, has already not, this year, has not seen one fight in any game. Over the past 10 years, the fighting, you literally right now on the stats, you have to go to 10 games before you can see one fight. It's 0.1% of fights. 90% of the games have no fights. Over the past 10 years, it gradually went down. So it's already something that the league tended to. There was on the way there. This just makes it more rapid to get to the finish line, I guess, that they had set years back, and everybody's on board. Now we have to decide. I'm meeting her because we want to see if there's still an open door. If someone's an instigator or an aggressor, and the other player tries to defend himself, maybe doesn't drop the gloves, and the referee doesn't intervene maybe before 5 seconds, and then at one point maybe he punches back, should that player be also step out of the game? You know, and that's where we are. So we're pretty close with what the minister wants to see, what the team wants to see. And when I get there on board, and there's a committee right now looking at it. And then on May 8th, I step in, and we'll have another month to look at it before announcing in June. And hopefully we have a rule that pleases everyone, and a rule that also punishes maybe even more, a little bit more, the instigator. So that player literally knows that if he goes that route, he's literally punishing himself more than anybody else. So that's the old context and the whole story as far as
I appreciate that, because there's a lot of detail there. And what I'm curious about is you continue to mention the Minister of Sport in Quebec. And I'm curious, you know, why that position appears to hold so much power over your league. Is it like the Q is not? Is it an independent league? Do you need the permission of the Minister of Sport to operate? Like, where else?
No.
Where else can she have power within the game? I'm curious why. You know, it's obvious why her opinion would hold weight, but it seems as if you're really trying to appease the Minister of Sport.
No, I wouldn't think so, because as I said, that's why I want to give context, because the league was already there and going there. So that's very important in what I've said, that over the past 10 years, the fights have literally dropped. I mean, literally, Quebec City, for example, I use that example again. I think that's quite, Patrick doesn't allow fights, he doesn't want fights. And it's significant because in Quebec City, they have the best arena, the biggest arena, but it also, obviously, the team that attracts the most, the biggest crowds. So the teams are looking at this saying, well, this is not necessarily, it doesn't sell tickets like it used to. This team is proof of that. The minister doesn't hold power over the league, independent league, to be clear. But she holds power, though. She can legislate. And nobody wants to get there. She can legislate along those rules.
So she could personally do this? Are you saying the minister would have power to legislate fighting out?
She can legislate fighting. That's what she's saying. And right now, there's no appetite to fight that. Nobody wants to get there because we're already going down that route. We think clearly has the power to legislate, if you will, through legislation. So basically, it would be a huge challenge, and nobody wants to get there.
So this would be along the lines of almost like college hockey, where a fight happens and guys get tossed from the game, correct?
Well, that's what I understand. I'm not, as I said, right now, I'm still full-time employed.
Right.
I've not read everything, but that's my understanding of the NCAA. That's what you're referring to. And basically, a lot of other leagues, I'm told, across Europe and in northern part of Europe and in the States, if you fight, you get tossed out of the game, absolutely. Just like football and other sports. That's what we have in the CFL, for example.
Yeah, and that's like you were saying earlier. We're chatting with Mario Cecchini, the soon-to-be commissioner of the QMJHL, and the Q has announced this week their plan of banning fighting. But fighting will never completely be out of the game just because it's a sport of passion. It's a physical sport. It's like any, you mentioned college hockey, they still drop the gloves. International hockey, they fight. Basketball, they fight. Baseball, they fight. I guess the question will be, if it's not happening anyway, and you've referenced, you know, a number of examples, including the Quebec City team that barely fights, I guess what is the point of a massive suspension if it's not happening anyway? Like, what are you trying to deter in the future with punishment? In other words, if it's one game and there's no fights anyway, what's the difference between a one-game suspension and a 10-game suspension if you're not really deterring anything? Because to your point, it doesn't seem like fighting's happening anyway.
Well, that's, first of all, it's important because we have a committee right now. So when you use the word massive, we're not there. That's what the committee is looking at. So everybody would have a different definition of massive. But we do want the intent is to also do away with it. We don't want to have to deal with the brawls, or we don't have to deal moving forward with some of the stuff we used to see. So you're right. Passion will probably ignite fights once in a while. But it needs to be, you know, you want the person, you want the player to think twice. And I guess, I don't know if it's going to be one, two, or three games. We don't know yet. The committee is working on that. So I don't know. Massive to me, I'm not ready to use those adjectives. It might be massive. I'm not saying it won't be. I'm saying right now, the committee has not even met yet. The decision has been made. Now, how to apply that rule, that's the due course of the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm curious what you think the ripple effect could be throughout the country, because, you know, the Q, I think in a lot of ways, has played a different style historically. I grew up in Ontario playing. I played in the Ontario Hockey League. Fighting is still a part of it. Jamie, he grew up in the Western League, and fighting is still a part of it, and was a much bigger part of it many years ago. Do you have? I know you still are not officially on the job, so I'm not sure if you've had the conversations with the CHL and with the OHL and the Western Hockey League. But do you get the impression like this could be a ripple effect?
Well, time will tell. I am talking. I've obviously exchanged a very short conversation with Dan McKenzie, commissioner of the CHL, this week. Actually, we're talking again this weekend. Not necessarily on that topic, but it's going to come up. I certainly won't pass any judgment on the O or on the W at this point. Not at all. I have enough to absorb right now on everything that's going on here with the Q. But it could be. You know, it could be, and I think the big thing here, it's the fact that, you know, 16 and 17-year-olds are involved. There was an article again this weekend, you know, about someone that had a really, really, that remained paralyzed after a fight. So it's the type of thing that right now the current is really to get away from it, and the teams have adopted that way of ruling themselves.
Yeah, and that said, 16-year-olds fighting possibly 20-year-olds has been the case throughout the history of the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and the game is very different today. There's no question. You see it at all levels, including the NHL. Fighting is just simply not as prominent. But, you know, I'm curious how you think the players might respond, because there still can be an avenue for a young player to step into the queue and think he can make a name for himself by being tough, by fighting, by being intimidating. It still can play a role in scouting, can play a role in an avenue towards the NHL. What would you say to that player who feels like maybe he is being outcast to an extent based on these rules?
Well, I would, and then again, I don't want to get into a huge debate about the future of hockey here, but to your point, you've just said hockey, even at the NHL level, is less pro, you know, it's not happening as often. Yeah. I was born in 64, so I've lived through the Broad Street Bullies. We've all seen the changes over the last 50 years. I don't even remember the last fight I've seen at Molson Center, a Bell Center that it, so much doesn't happen often enough right now.
Arbor Jacki.
Sorry?
The kid, Arbor Jacki, the defenseman.
Yeah, well, he's gone. He's hurt, so he hasn't played in a month. But that's the thing. I think that that kid... I mean, you use the correct word. You can be tough. You can be aggressive. You don't need to fight in order to demonstrate that. You don't need to fight in order to be intimidating to the opponent just by being solid and, you know, legal checking. And I come right now, I'm in the world of football. If there are a place where there's hard contacts, huge contact, violent contact, it's also in football. When a guy jumps up, goes for the ball, totally, totally unprotected, you've seen those hits. And most of the time, no fight needs to happen. The guy even helps him up, you know, picks up his hand and helps him get back up. It's a culture. It's things to be changed. And that's where things are going to evolve probably. So, my comments relating to what's happening in the queue and in Quebec and in the Maritimes right now. I don't know, but I don't want to presume of any ripple effect at this point. But I know we'll be the focal point. It's up to us, to the players, to showcase their talent differently. I don't think we'll have less draft picks. So to that player, I would say you can be as aggressive as you want. keep it legal. You can be as intimidating as you want by your sheer presence. Keep it legal. You don't need to fight. And I think you'll be drafted as much.
With Mario Cecchini, the soon-to-be commissioner of the QMJHL, and I think what has always been uneasy, and I've always understood where people stand on this, is, you know, the idea of adults showing up at the rink and watching kids fight for entertainment purpose, especially if it is a 16-year-old, 17-year-old who are not making millions of dollars like they would be if they're playing pro hockey. Yeah. But I think we'd be naive to believe that that isn't a part of the entertainment package that can come with the sport, or historically it has. And I'm curious how you feel fans throughout the QMJHL might respond to this. And even if it's a smaller percentage today than it was 30 or 40 years ago, if you have a ticket-paying fan that appreciates possible fights, emotion, chaos, and obviously they're not going to be marketed to anymore, what would your message be to that fan?
Well, again, I think right now the action speaks louder than words. And I go back to what I said. The biggest crowds is to the places where you have the crowd is, I mean, they had 11,000 people at the game last week. Mm-hmm. They often go 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people. So to me, that's the huge example. That's an example, real life, where actually there's no fights. And they sell the most tickets. So the first part of entertainment is hockey. And I go back to where we are, to the point that you made also. We're just accelerating what seemed was going to happen anyway. We went to I don't know the exact stats, so quote me, but I saw numbers from 2011 to now, down now to 0.01 fight per game. Mm-hmm. So some people have criticized, saying this is a big fuss for something that's on the way out anyway. So maybe it is, and that's why I say accelerated getting to the finish line. But it is something that is out of already. Most of the fans don't go to games to see, obviously, fighting, because there's already much, much less fighting than there ever was.
Well, we wish you nothing but success with these future endeavors. You know, good luck in your final few days there with the Alouettes. And
thank you very much.
A lot of curiosity there with the new ownership coming in. And again, good luck with being the commissioner out there in the queue. And we really appreciate the insight and the time. Thank you for doing this.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Mario Cecchini, the newly named QMJHL commissioner. So.
I can see where he's talking about statistics. I mean, fighting is down everywhere. So there's no, he's not wrong in that situation. The only thing I challenged was a couple things. And was he talked about, like, hazing and fighting. Like, those are two separate things.
Yeah, they're
like
not, they're not the connected.
And the Q's had some issues, just like the O, just like the
Absolutely.
Western Hockey, just like colleges, like everywhere. Like, that's, you know, you're trying to clean up sport, period. For a level of respect. So that has to be on the table and said, because I just didn't want to be tied to one or the other. What was this lady's name? Or not her name.
Well, the Minister of Sport, this is where I think there may be an overreach, because I can understand why she would say, wait, what's going on with the hazing? What's going on with the sexual assault allegation?
Right.
That is absolutely something that I think the government is more than worthy of not only, you know, getting involved in, but legitimately trying to uncover what's going on. But then if you go beyond that and say, well, since I'm here, let's take fighting out too. That to me is, that can be a slippery slope.
Well, that's the only where he tied the two together. And I was like, you know, that's where I would say, okay, they're completely different. They're completely separate. How somebody, you know, acts or acts off the ice and, you know, does terrible things as opposed to something on the ice. And I don't think they're tied together. I would hope they're separated in these conversations. That's the only thing I thought
about.
Yeah,
I'm not
about.
Sure. I mean, but, it was interesting for sure that the Minister of Sport clearly is playing a big role in this. You know,
right.
I wonder how the Minister of Sport in Ontario will respond, and the Minister of Sport in, you know, the Western provinces, because it does, like, I understand that that is something that they're overseeing, clearly, and they're elected officials. But, like, the Q is an independent league that's been operated this way for a long time. And, you know, fighting is one thing. But then what's next? What if body contact is something that the Minister of Sport doesn't like? You're going to catered to that next? I would certainly hope not.
That was my thought process. But, I mean, he's not wrong. Fighting is down significantly and heading in a direction where, it might come to a point where it is college rules, where it's like, hey, you guys drop the gloves, you're kicked out of the game. That's it. And then it becomes illegal instead of a five-minute penalty, which is still technically it's legal but not illegal. You get a penalty for it. So, I mean, I get where people's heads are at. I think through osmosis, like you said, they're just pushing it over the line. If this is a pilot project, see how it goes.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the Q has always been kind of a step ahead with the physicality of it all, fighting. And I think the O, I think it will have a ripple effect. I think the O will go next. I think the WHL will be last. I don't know how far behind, but I think the dub will be last.
You're saying the dub will be 10 years from now.
Yeah, based on their reputation and the way that they operate. But I think in the NHL it eventually will get to that point where – I don't know when, but it'll be a game misconduct. I don't think they'll go beyond that anytime soon in terms of like a 5-game or 10-game suspension. Because now, like in the NHL, as you guys know, you can have multiple fights in a game. Like you could fight twice and keep playing.
When's the last time you saw a guy fight twice in a game?
I can't recall. I mean,
Jonas, can you remember?
Totally,
I'm just thinking
sport,
like Colton Orr comes to mind, like that kind
of
thing.
But that's
a decade ago.
That's a
exactly
long time.
Like that. That's what I'm saying. Like
it's a different world,
I think it is a different world, and I see where it's headed. And I don't think you fight it. I think you just go, okay, what's the best way? And you move on. And if it becomes, I just never want to see there's a line. It's like, okay, well now hitting, like, where are we going to go with this? And where are we going? Like to me, there are still things that are part of the game that you don't want taken out. And that is the physicality of it cleanly, not hitting from behind. I'm massively against that. Massively, but I still don't mind a clean hit. I still don't mind a loose puck battle in the corner where you're using your body. That's part of the game.
It's not the sport anymore if you lose that. I'm sorry, it's not. That's flag football, right? It's not the equivalent of football.
But that's not this debate, is it?
Like, no, it's not. But I think the concern is a slippery slope. Now, fighting is very different. Like fighting. Bare knuckle fighting is so different than throwing a hit in physical contact.
I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I feel weird now with everything I've read and learned about concussions and head injuries and everything like that, brain injuries connected to fighting, to now watch still, like it doesn't happen often, but still to watch, I don't know, whenever Wayne Simmonds fought. Like, I get a kind of a queasy feeling just knowing everything we know now and it still happens.
Maybe that's just me. Yeah, I mean, yes, I agree. You never want to see a guy get knocked out or anything like that, but you see a guy get knocked out with a clean hit and a shoulder to the chest, but their head snaps back. Like, that's the only thing. Like, at some point, you're like, if you go look at the statistics, I mean, concussions from fighting compared to hitting, I think you get more concussions from hitting than you do in fights. So that's that. You don't want to see it, period. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. So that goes without saying with any sport.
But any sport, it can happen. And like the UFC exists, boxing exists. There's a lot of things that still exist in the game and in the world of sports where it's emotional. There are different reasons for fights, too. Like to just blanket every fight and suggest it's the exact same to me is not a fair debate. Fair point to make.
I thought it was weird that the Ministry of Sport, like it almost was like, she's gonna step in if she doesn't like the what she saw there. Like that's what I got out of that, which was weird to me. It's like, okay, well, you see a hit from behind and she's like, I'm gonna charge that person criminally now instead of the league dealing with it. Did you guys get that's kind of what I got out of it. It was like,
I guess because it's kids, right? Like this is, no?
Right.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's still an overreach.
20, right?
Like it's still like, I'm sorry, politicians should have no, like if there's something illegal happening in that's
but
a
aren't
different
there
story.
Rules for employment for kids in any other, I guess they're not employees. But.
Well, yes, but if that's the sport. Is boxing legal for kids in Quebec? Are you allowed to train for different, MMA and different I don't know. Are you allowed to play football? In the, I believe you are. You know, like
I think it's different. Like that. That's why I wanted to separate it right away. Where she was like, I have no problem Ministry of Sports stepping in on like hazing and stupid stuff that's happened. Like
that kind of stuff has to stop. It's garbage, exactly. And it has. It's always been garbage.
But the other stuff is it's a slippery slope. But that's it's just interesting, and it's a pilot program, I guess, if they couldn't call it that.
No, I think they're doing it, man. I don't think there's.
Well, they're doing
I think
it.
It's done. I mean, that's where it's.
But
it's
I guess
going.
It's a. I don't know if the right terminology. It's a case. It's the first case. So let's see how it goes, and maybe everyone adopts it because it's like that's the way to go because it's trending in that direction anyways.
Right.
So you know we'll see how it unfolds. And,
well,
and like
we'll also
said,
see the ripple effects of it. Like if players play differently, I'm not sure they will because again, the nature of the sport today, it's a very different sport. Because right. That was always an argument. You take fighting out, the rats will take over. Will they? I don't. What does that look like? What does that
right.
mean? You know, right. goalies getting run, or because then what you can do is you suspend the rats more. You know, if
right.
you want to be an idiot, you know you maybe don't have to pay a price by dropping the gloves. We're going to suspend more. We're going to punish harder. I don't know. All of this will be determined in the future, but it's likely the first of many to come in terms of fighting and. The conversation of fighting in the sport of hockey is not going to end anytime soon. We'll come back with our best bets brought to you by FanDuel later in the hour. We got the Leafs in action tonight with Carolina in town. You can hear that game on TSN Radio. Watch it on TSN 4 tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, today is World Sleep Day. Step aside, St. Paddy's. World Sleep Day and TSN 1050 and Sleep Country want to help awaken Canadians to the power of sleep with the chance to win a $250 Sleep Country gift card. Call in right now, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Call in now to win. You can also follow us on Instagram at TSN1050 and find our latest giveaway post for another chance to win in the future. Take active control of your health and well-being by building better sleep habits. Head to sleepcountry.ca today for the best deals on sleep essentials. Got to get your sleep in. Has to happen. Top priority. And as we get older, as I get older, that is more of a priority than going out and drinking, quite frankly, on St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah.
I might have a beer tonight. It's a Friday night. Maybe I have two. But I won't be up past midnight. I can give you that guarantee. Not going to happen, Jonas. As much as you want me to hit the bar scene tonight, get a little bit crazy, not going
to
happen.
I didn't mean to tell you. I heard from some sources. A curry chip is a nice dish today, and corned beef and cabbage.
Corned beef and cabbage, that sounds delicious. How could you possibly pass that up?
Corned beef.
Have you ever had a curry chip?
I don't recall having one, no.
That's good.
What's that?
It's basically just like amazing fries with like curry sauce.
Okay. All right. The Irish. Irish cuisine. There
it's
you
good.
Go. All right. So Arad and I were going back and forth. You know, it's St. Patrick's Day, and we're trying to get creative.
Yeah.
And came up with one bit, leprechaun or lepra cannot. All right? And the reason we went with lepra cannot is because we were worried about Freudian slips that could cost us our license.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can allow your mind to get where you want it to get to on what possibly could be spouted out by one of the three of us. You guys in the mood for some leprechaun
yes.
or leprechaun not? I mean, it's a pretty pretty simple.
I'm pretty fired up about
bit.
It. I actually feel like it's going to be our best bit.
I think it's possible, right? So it's pretty simple, right? Like a scenario will play out where either it can or it cannot. Leprechaun or leprechaun not. Leprechaun or leprechaun not. All right, let's begin with this. Austin Matthews, he's sitting on 31 goals for the season, and he's got 15 games left. Austin Matthews, leprechaun or leprechaun not, still score 45 goals on the season.
45?
40. That would be 14 in his final 15, something he has done multiple times in his career.
Cannot.
Leprechaun not.
Whoa.
Get it right, Jones.
I'm scared now to say something wrong.
you
put it in
would.
My head.
I shouldn't have even mentioned it.
Yeah.
That's
a lot of goals. And we just haven't seen that this year.
He's scoring a lot recently, Jonas. A lot.
I think 40 is more
I think he's getting 40 for sure. I think he scored 9 in his final 15. He's coming, man. I feel like he's coming alive and he's starting to hop. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to have a – you had that great piece in The Athletic earlier this week, you know, where he's kind of acknowledged that he had issues and he's feeling better. I'm going to say Leprechaun. I think he can score 14 in his final 15 games. I do. Yeah. I think he could still score 45 on the year.
We've seen it before. I'd say Leprechaun. I haven't looked at their.
Would you?
I just haven't looked at their final games. And then, that being said, is he going to play all 15 games? Because is there going to be some load management near the end where it's like, okay, they play the last 2 out of 4 type of things? That's the thing. I'm going to say Leprechaun. I think he gets to like 43 or something like that because he plays like 12 games out of the last 15 or 13, right. You know. So
I think he can score 15 and 12. 15. Yeah. I mean, the way this guy is capable of scoring, it's not going to be easy to Leprechaun, but I think he Leprechaun do it in the end. All right, the Winnipeg Jets, Leprechaun or Leprechaun not, still make a cup run this season.
Well, you got to make the playoffs, but yeah.
That's the thing. It's not a lock they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, I should do first because I've been bullish on them, and I backed off on them to start the season because I was like, they've fooled me 4 years in a row or 3 years in a row, and then started looking at them, did some of their games. They played different this year, and the goalie was great, but now they've won 4 of their last 15. So that's where they've stubbed their toe. I think if they get in, they can do some damage because the goalie's great. The defenseman is going to be probably third in voting for Norris. And that forward crew is – I mean, Nikolai Ehlers being injured has really hurt them. Cole Perfetti being injured, like that's 2 of their top 6 guys. But I think they're going to be healthy when they come back. So I'll say Leprechaun, but kind of a – what's a medium, like a really weak one.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Yeah, like
an
a
Irish
weak
Fergie.
One.
You're an Irish Fergie.
Yeah,
right
I'll
now.
Be an Irish Fergie on that one. Sorry for the long response.
Okay, I'm Leprechaun not. I just don't – I have not bought into them at any point. I remember saying before the year I thought this was it. This would be the end of the road. The mix just isn't there. Defensively, they don't commit. Hellebuck has not been great recently.
Yeah.
And that's a concern as well. I believe in Hellebuck when he's on his game. Say this, Ehlers is closing in on street clothes territory, man. That guy's injured all the time. Ehlers is hurt all the time. So I don't know how much you can rely on him when he returns. I just don't love the mix. I like that they're in the West. You know, you get in, you play Dallas, you play Vegas. You know, is it possible? For sure. But I don't see a cup run. You know, maybe a surprising round. I don't see them getting to like a conference final or beyond. I don't think they have it in them.
What's between Leprechaun and Leprechaun? Is there like
that's
a middle?
That's kind of where
an
I
Irish
was
Fergie.
Like...
That's what it is.
Yeah,
you're,
that's
you're
where I
an
was.
Irish.
Well, I can neither confirm or deny that.
Exactly. Picture that with an Irish accent.
That's it's the what, only thing what you're just touching on. Hayes, like who are you, who's the team in the West?
Like, well, I think Colorado really... clearly is head and shoulders above them. Vegas, you know, there's something weird about Vegas, but they're consistent. They keep winning, last night notwithstanding. Like, they're still
I wouldn't sleep
team.
On Edmonton too, man.
I wouldn't either.
I guess those the only guys... problem is they might just not make it. Like, if you had to pick between those two teams, who do you think is going to make it?
I'd say Winnipeg, just because they're 3 points up right now. You know, that game that they play Calgary, I think it's April 5th or something. That could be do or die for both teams.
Yeah, it could
that
be.
That could be
head
a big game.
Yeah, it'll be a big game. Like, there's lots of moving parts out there, but Colorado is serious again, man. Like, they are they're not messing around.
Consider this, just of note. These are some of Winnipeg's remaining games. Arizona, Anaheim, San Jose, Detroit, Nashville, San Jose. Yeah,
that's pretty good. But that doesn't mean, like, let's say they win those. That still doesn't mean they're going on a cup run.
No.
That just means they might get in.
Right.
You know, and I just don't see
them. But then you get the matchup. But then say you slide in on the 8 hole, who do they get?
They would get Vegas.
Would you get Vegas or would you get Dallas?
Or you still could get Colorado. Colorado still might win the Central. Like, they're not far off Dallas. They're right behind Minnesota, and I think they have games in hand.
Vegas has 90 points. They're first.
Probably Vegas then, yeah. You're probably looking at Vegas. Then you're on that side of the seed, and you're probably playing, you know, if you get through Edmonton or L.A., I wouldn't favor them in that series either. All right, moving on here. The Rogers Center renovations, Leprechaun or Leprechaun-not, lead to an increase of ticket sales by at least 10% over last season. So in other words, they're going to sell 10% more tickets simply because of the renovations. People want to go see the new park.
Leprechaun-not.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, you want to go and have a whether they got those like an Italian way. They got don't they have like all this like?
I don't know exactly how it's playing out, like the neighborhoods and
right,
what it's going to be named after. Effectively, they're just patios and that's what it is.
I'm not going to a game to do that. I'm going to go to a game to watch the Jays, and you go to your certain amount of games. You're not going, okay, I've got to go to a game now because I can go sit in the Italian restaurant and watch the game on TV, or, whatever.
I want to see it, but I don't, like, that's a one-off. Once you go and see it for the first time, that's it. I'm not buying, 10% more tickets over the course of the year to see it more than once.
That's why I'm a cannot.
I'm with you on the cannot. Leprechaun-not. Yeah. Although I do think it'll go up. I think, like, last year I was looking it up. I want to say they averaged something like 37,000.
I got it in front of me.
32,700 tickets per game. And in 16, they were up over 40,000, right? So last year they were a playoff team. They're a good team. They're going to be even, possibly better this year. Having a good team sells more tickets than having renovations to a park.
Wow.
But if you marry both of them, then your tickets are probably going to go up.
Hayes, you're right. 41.8 in
back
16.
At 16?
That's
a lot
of
tickets,
more.
Man. That's a lot of tickets.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money they were making back then. I think they sold a lot in 17, too, even though it tailed off. But
I'm in cannot, by the way. It has to be a new park, or what you're talking about, a really good team.
I think you're right. A completely new park blows past 10%. It's a complete game changer. They'd sell... I think over 3 million tickets over the course of the year, people trying to get down there. But renovations, I'm not sure that's going to cut it. All right, final one here. Conor McGregor, who is back doing the rounds. He's going to be doing the Ultimate Fighter coaching. He's going to get back in the octagon at some point. He's doing a lot of interviews this week. He's Irish. Conor McGregor, Leprechaun or Leprechaun-not, still be the biggest pay-per-view draw for the UFC? Is McGregor still the man? I will say Leprechaun. I'll answer first.
Yeah.
I think he's still the most compelling figure. I think John Jones being back is significant. There are other great fighters. But he's transcended beyond the octagon, beyond UFC. The guy's, you love him, you hate him. He sells tickets incredibly well. Now he's coming back off a gruesome injury. He's been losing fights. I don't think anyone sells more than McGregor. I still think he would be the king of pay-per-view for the UFC.
Not to mention everything that he brings with it, like leading up to it, I'm Leprechaun.
Leprechaun, that one you can say. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm Leprechaun for sure. Okay. I just think he's a huge draw. Like anything with him involved, I'm watching.
Leprechaun.
It's all good. All right, it's all good. There
that
you go.
That was great.
Maybe that happens. I think it actually worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it was a little
Freudian slips. Everyone was okay. I think that comes back every year. Although if the other guy's here next year,
I don't know.
Possibly we rename that.
Well, yeah. I can either confirm or deny that.
There it is, the Irish Fergie. We established the Irish Fergie. So on St. Paddy's Day, when you're indecisive, you're Irish John Ferguson.
Shouldn't you shout out the big Irishman, by the way?
Yeah, Pat Quinn, of course.
Pat Quinn, yeah.
Absolutely. Shout out to Pat Quinn for sure. He would have loved the game like tonight. we'll come back with our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Leafs Canes tonight, Leafs in Ottawa tomorrow. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Mail It In Friday is brought to you by Boston Pizza, Canada's favorite sports bar. The push to the playoffs is here, and BP's elite lineup of pizza, wings, and ice-cold beer is always dialed in for game time. Hustle into your local BP tonight and try our new 4-Cheese Ravioli Bites, a game-changing appy that's here for a limited time only. Mail in Friday brought to you by Boston Pizza, Canada's favorite sports bar. The push to the playoffs is here, and BP's elite lineup of pizza, wings, and ice cold beers always dialed in for game time. Hustle into your local BP tonight and try our new four cheese ravioli bites, a game changing appy that's here for a limited time only. I'm sure Boston Pizzas throughout the country are packed right now because March Madness, of course, is happening. You've got the Leafs in action, a bunch of NHL games tonight, NBA games tonight. You got golf this weekend. And, of course, you got St. Paddy's Day as well. So, shout out to Boston Pizza, man. That place will be packed. Packed.
Be rocking. I'm fired up for it. You know my routine. You know my Friday routine.
I know your Friday routine. Yeah, hopefully you mixed in a four cheese ravioli bite. They are a game changing appy.
That is in the mix. But the Great White North, I mean, my creation, since they took it off the menu in the East, but not in the West. So I had it once when I was out West last week. It's good.
There you go. It's still out there. Yeah, we got to make sure that gets to the East. It's got to get up here.
And
you found a way to manipulate that somehow with your local Boston Pizza, which is a strong move by you, Noodles. And today's best bets are brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I'm on the under in the Leaf game tonight. I think it's going to mimic kind of what we saw a couple of nights ago. Carolina's a very sound defensive team. The Leafs are a sound defensive team. I think it's a chess match tonight. I think it's a really good game, but I could see 3-2. I could see 2-1 again. I really could. I like the under 6.5. You got to pay some juice on that. Furman, I think they're going to keep dancing. And I wouldn't be shocked if they won outright, but you're getting 5.5 against San Diego State. I like Furman to at least cover the number. Right? You get a big win early in the tournament. You're feeling good going into the weekend. And over in the brutal bowl tonight between Columbus and Anaheim, Blue Jackets, Ducks. Can you imagine being subjected to this game? 6.5 is the total. You got to pay juice. That feels like a 5-4 game tonight.
I'm going to keep my eye on it later.
You're going to keep your eye on that one? You give me the Coles notes. I shockingly will not be tracking that game tonight.
I'm going to be taking a peek on that one.
Take a peek. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. All right, Jonas, you've been bringing the Irish flair to the show all day.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Love it.
We appreciate that.
Enjoy a beer
always.
Tonight?
Yes, I'm going to do that just for you. I plan on doing that tonight. So
Green Guinness.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Yes.
Green Guinness.
Got to get in on the Guinness. Got to get in on that tonight. And the Leafs are coming up on TSN and on TSN Radio, so enjoy that. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.